People ask me once in a while, he said, you got to be baptized in the Holy Ghost to get to heaven? I said, I got to be baptized in the Holy Ghost to go to Walmart. Amen. Amen. He is the comforter. I thank God for Brother Steve and his spirit of humility. He is blessed and gifted to do what he does, and he's the only one that can't see it. But that's all right. That's the way it should be. Amen. Thank you, Brother Todd, for another awesome message and ministry last week. Let's give him a hand. I'm trying to put something, chain on his leg or something, try to hold on to him. Let him preach some more around here. Amen. God's raising up an army. That's what he's doing. He really is. We are in the last days. Speaking of an army, we got a beautiful little young lady. She's so new to our church, I don't remember her name right now, and I apologize for it. Wave at me over there. You know who you are. Yeah, the older girl. There you go. She came in and handed me this beautiful little basket full of handmade bookmarks that she made. She said, can you just set them out and let people take them? So they're on the table in the back. Thank you so much for blessing our congregation with that. Now, if you get back there and there's only one, it's mine. But there's a whole bunch of them back there right now. So you feel free to take one on the way out. God is good all the time. Glory to God. Would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word this morning? It's good to have everybody in the house of the Lord. I'm going to read to you from 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 5 in the Amplified. And Samuel said to all Israel, I've listened to you in all that you've said to me, and I've made a king over you. And now, behold, the king walks before you, and I'm old and gray. I feel you, Samuel, I feel you. And behold, my sons are with you, and I've walked before you from my childhood to this day. And here I am. Testify against me before the Lord and Saul, his anointed. Whose ox or donkey have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded or oppressed? Or from whose hand have I received any bribe to blind my eyes? Tell me, and I will restore it to you. And they said, you've not defrauded us or oppressed us or taken anything from any man's hand. And Samuel said to them, then the Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that you have not found anything in my hand. And they answered, he is witness. I want to talk to you today about faithfulness in ministry, in doing the will and doing the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of us, if you are a Christian, you are a minister. The word minister means servant. You may not be called to full-time, no, that's not true. You are called to full-time ministry no matter where you are or what you're doing. We're supposed to do all to the glory of God. To the honor of God. Not every one of us, I guess what I should say, are called to be pastors or evangelists or even teachers or whatever. But every one of us are called to the ministry. Every Christian is a minister of Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads with me and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, what a sweet, sweet presence and spirit is in this house. I thank you, Father, for your presence, for your glory. I thank you for your children that stand before me. God, you've raised up a family and an army here at New Life that I believe is second to none in your eyes. Because all you really want is a heart that is completely and fully surrendered to you and a will that is willing to say, not my will, but your will be done. And God, what you can do through that, what you can accomplish through that, the lives that get changed through that, what we will see in eternity through that is going to be above and beyond all that we could think or imagine. Lord Jesus, you are the head of your church, the bride. You have placed members in this body, each one exactly the way that you want it to be, and it serves together as each part does its part and does its work, God, you reveal your Son. You lift yourself, Jesus, high above and in front of the world. And you said if you be lifted up, you would draw all men unto you. Lord, continue to touch us. Help us to grow, not only numerically, but help us to grow spiritually. Help us to lose our lives that we might find them in you. And help us, Jesus, to be a part of the answer of that prayer that you prayed. You said it was the Father's will that we bear fruit, that it be abundant fruit, and that it be lasting fruit. Father, work that miracle in and through us, I pray, and through every member of this body, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And we know because of that, that you will add daily to the church. You will multiply to the church those that will be saved, Father. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Samuel is preparing to hand over the leadership of Israel to the king that they've asked for. Samuel was born to a mother who had been barren for years, who had went to the temple one day and was so heartbroken and so desperate before God that she prayed and she said, God, if you will give me a child, I will dedicate that child to you and your service all the days of his life. That's really what every parent, that's what your goal should be. You know, if you're just buying them the newest sneaker and the newest game and PlayStation, whatever it is, and you are not leading them to Christ, you are not loving them to Christ, you are not showing them to Christ, you're going to be heartbroken one day. Desperately heartbroken. Because all of our children need to be dedicated to the Lord. And they won't fall too far from the tree. There's not a guarantee by any means. When you read scripture, you'll see that there are godly people whose children become ungodly. There are ungodly people who their children become the most godly people in Israel. But make sure that you're not the one that stumbles your kids from wanting to serve and follow the Lord. Make sure that they can't use you as an excuse to die and go to hell. Samuel has served God faithfully from his childhood. And he's reminding them he's fulfilled his ministry faithfully before God and before them. I remember early on when I first started serving the Lord, even before I became a pastor, I realized probably the afternoon after I got saved. I got saved early in the morning. In fact, next Sunday, it will have been 44 years since I bowed my head and gave my life to Christ. And I realized from that moment that my life was no longer my own, that regardless of what ministry I became a part of in the kingdom of God, I had a responsibility to share Christ with every other person that I could come in contact with. And I got so busy about doing it that God finally, about a year and a half in, I was almost, how many of you know you can get so busy doing all the good things that you still miss some things in life that God wants you to do? And I got so busy that the Holy Spirit came to me one day and he said, I love you, Ken. I love what you're doing. He said, but you're like a rubber band. You're wound so tight, you're going to snap one of these days. And I'm not looking for rubber bands that snap. I'm looking for people that are in it for the long haul. Our church has been blessed, and I talk about him because he's worthy of the honor. Brother Walt, wave at me over there. Brother Walt has served God for over 60-plus years. I'm catching you. I've always said when I grow up, I want to be just like him. And I think I just said it a week or so ago, but I want to say it again. His life is a light that shines, and it shines steady, and it shines strong, and he's in it for the long haul. People can argue your religion. They'll argue scripture with you. They can argue church with you. They cannot argue the testimony of a godly life. If you live it, I believe Brother Steve said the other week, you know, if people criticize, and they will, you'll be persecuted, but if it ain't real, it won't stick. God said, I'll make your righteousness shine forth as a noonday. You just got to wait on it sometimes. Let him be your defender. See, I wanted to start well. I wanted to do well, but I want to finish well too. And see, you got to watch. You got to watch because it's toward the end of the race is where the things get the most dangerous. They really do. But Samuel had been faithful. He was faithful as a child, and he had been faithful through his entire life. And now, to his heartbreak and to God's heartbreak, Israel wanted a king, and he's getting ready to hand the reins over. Not quite yet, but he's ready to. He's been faithful to God. And if they can't say anything else about me, if they can't put anything else on my tombstone when I die, I hope they can at least say he was faithful to God for his journey. Now, other people have threatened to inscribe this on it. I said all that to say this. So if you do see that, it's probably mine. I did a funeral a few weeks ago, and I didn't know till I got to the graveside that where I was burying this person was about 20 feet from where Carl and I's grave plots are. That's a eye-opener. When you're standing there and you're committing somebody to the ground and look over and say, well, yep, that's where it's all going to end up, right over there. But we want to be faithful to God. How many of you know faithfulness is a rare and precious thing? And faithfulness in ministry is even more rare. God spoke to me years ago when I first became a pastor. He said, I'm going to make you a pastor of pastors. And I thought, I was like Brother Steve. I thought, really, Lord? You know, I think you got the wrong guy. Through some circumstances like God does that are way beyond consequence, I was standing in a room one day where I was supposed to be doing a breakout session to teach a room full of pastors about a particular ministry we were doing. And about 20 minutes into it, this young pastor raised his hand. He said, this got nothing to do with what you're teaching about. He said, but I got a problem in my church. And he said, can I just ask you a question? And he asked me a question, and I answered it. And as soon as he got done, another pastor raised his hand. He said, can I ask you one? And so about third person in, I said to him, I said, how many of you have been in the ministry for 20 years or longer? Not a single hand went up. I said, how about 10? Not a single hand went up. I said, how about 5? Not a single hand went up. I stopped at 5. And God said, I told you so. The reason I'm sharing that with you, you know that most pastors only last about as long as most people last in marriage. Year, year and a half, 2 years, 3, 5 is a long tenure for most. Hundreds of them not only quit the ministry, but they quit God every day. And I'm sharing that with you because I want you to understand, and I thank God, in Washington County, there are numerous pastors that have been at it for years. Yes, and you need to thank God every day for that, that they're faithful to God. Brother Todd, I believe, is channeling Brother Robinson. He's been around him for years. And Brother Bobby Robinson has been around longer than I have, probably not quite as long as Walt. You know, and you see Walt in his senior years, but Walt has served every level and type of ministry that you can possibly serve, and he's never above or below any of it. It don't matter what you ask him to do. And that's what God's looking for. He's looking for faithfulness, but it's a rare thing. In fact, Proverbs 26 says this, most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? We can talk a good talk. That's what it's saying. It's saying a lot of people say, yeah, I'm faithful, I'm committed, you can count on me. But God himself says, but really a faithful man who can find? Jesus said in one place, he said, when I return, will I even find faith on the earth? If you've been around here a while, you know what my answer is to that. I'm like the donkey in Shrek. Pick me! Pick me! Pick me! I said, Jesus, there isn't anybody waiting on you when you come back except me. I'm going to be here by the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. When he comes back, I want to be waiting. I used to see pictures of what's supposed to be the rapture, you know, and airplanes are flying into buildings and cars are wrecking all over the highway. It's probably going to happen. It's going to be like a whisper. Nobody's even going to know it happened. Because he said there's going to be so few that are still serving Christ when he comes. But I want to be among them. Psalm 12:1 said, help, Lord, for the godly man ceases to be, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. It's hard to find people that are faithful, people that you can count on. In 1 Timothy 1:12, the Apostle Paul is speaking, and listen to what he says. He said, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me because he counted me gifted, an orator, the best speaker anybody had ever heard. Now, that's not even the Message Bible on this one. It said, he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Paul's saying he put me in because he knew I wouldn't quit. I wouldn't give up. I got to stumble one time in the first church I was in. I was still a lay person. And I was sitting there one Sunday night and I said, God, they're all hypocrites. You know what God said? He said, you're right. He said, but look at her. There was a lady, one lady sitting in the crowd in the middle of the whole thing. Hands in the air, tears running down her face. He said, but there's one. As long as there's one, you can't call them all hypocrites. You know what else he said to me? He said, you're right. Most of them are. He said, but are you going to be a part of the answer or part of the problem? He said, I need somebody to love me enough to live for me and to show them hypocrites what it is. Now, that was years before I became a pastor. I'm not talking about being a pastor. I'm talking about being a Christian. Just living for God every day. I was a Christian welder then. That's what I was. I wasn't just a welder. I was a Christian welder. Amen. But you know what? I think God counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. I didn't know I was headed for the ministry then at all, not pastoral ministry. I get paid to come to church every Sunday now. I didn't back then, but you know what? I was just as faithful then as I am right now. In fact, one of my youth leaders that's moved to Georgia posted on Facebook the other day about the workman being worthy of his hire. I said, shh, don't tell him I'll do it for nothing. Why? Because God counts as faithful to put us into ministry. That's all he wants. He wants somebody to be available. Now, Brother Steve hadn't meditated enough on that scripture about Moses either. He gave Moses a helper. He said, well, I'll let your brother Aaron speak. Which is a little strange when you realize God could have healed his stuttering, but he didn't. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I want to use you just like you are. Yeah. If I'd have wanted you 6'4", I wouldn't have made you 5'6". I'm looking back, Brother Kenny there almost said something about hair. That's all right. He loves me. I can get away with that. God wants to use you just like you are. You are the best version of you that God ever made. In fact, you're the only version of you that God ever made. There will never be another like you. Somebody said, thank God. I've never run into him, but there's people told me for years. They said, there's another guy in Hagerstown that looks like your twin. I said, poor fella. But I haven't run into him. Listen, all Christians are called to be in ministry. We're called to the ministry of reconciling other people to Christ through your life. You're supposed to live as a vessel that has the Holy Spirit inside of you that makes you light up like a lightning bug in the summertime. And people are supposed to see and taste Jesus in you. I know that because of this. It said, therefore, if anyone really is in Christ, I added the word really, but it's true. He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who's reconciled to himself through Jesus Christ. And he's given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. God is looking for those who are faithful to make themselves available to do his work and his mission in the world. Do you know what that is? To seek and to save that which is lost. That's what you're called to do. Whew, what a calling! I don't care what you do as a job or employment for a living. I don't care what neighborhood you live in. I don't care what kind of car you drive or don't drive or whatever. I don't care what kind of clothes you wear or don't wear. No matter what you're doing, no matter where you're at, you're supposed to be a servant of Jesus Christ, reconciling others who are lost to God. And I hope a whole lot of you new people come to our membership class. But if you become a member in our church, guess what? You're going to go to work. And if you're not going to go to work, don't join. You can go set and fill up airspace some other place. We got work to do. There's plenty of places you can go sit on a pew and do nothing, be nothing for Christ. And he'll let you, but you ain't going to do it here. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 3, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Every day I wake up, you say, man, I just feel worthless. I feel like the lowest worm in the world, and my life don't mean nothing. Why don't you serve Christ? Why don't you get involved in the work of the kingdom? Why don't you get involved in helping people to find salvation so that one day they can live in eternity? And then every day you wake up, you can say, man, my life means something. So what does faithfulness really look like if it's so scarce, and how can we cultivate it in our lives? How many of you know faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit? And I want to call your attention to a little detail in the Scripture. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance, self-control. It's all fruit. It doesn't say fruits of the Spirit. Which means you don't get to have one and you don't get to pick another one and let the other one rot and hang on the tree. It means you're supposed to be all of them through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you're supposed to be loving and kind and gentle and, yes, patient and self-control. I'm going to tell you how to get it here in a little bit. Just hang on. You're supposed to be bearing that fruit so that people can taste that fruit in your life. Paul said they taste of the Lord and see that he's good. They do it through the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible tells us in Peter that God wants to cleanse us flesh, body, mind, and spirit. Some of you got bad spirit. Your uncle gave it to you. Your mother gave it to you. I had a doctor used to tell me, he said, be careful how you pick your parents. They give you stuff. Hereditary stuff. But you know what? You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You don't have to be like your aunt, your uncle, mom, dad, your brother, your sister. How about you be like Jesus a little while? Quit making your flesh an excuse to walk in the flesh and start walking in the Spirit of God. Oh, I got to behave or I won't get done. Number one, I'm going to tell you how to do it. I'm not just going to yell at you about it. I'm going to tell you how to do it. Number one, faithfulness requires discipline. Jesus has called you not just to be a church member, not just to be a believer, not just to be a Christian. In fact, early on, they didn't even call them Christians. That didn't happen until later on. You know what he's called you to be? A disciple. You know what word is in disciple? Discipline. Discipline. Well, I don't like discipline. Well, you need to read the book of Proverbs. It says if you don't like discipline, you're stupid. I'm just the messenger. I didn't write it. It says if you don't like discipline, you're not going to succeed in life. I'm just the messenger. There's even one that says, he that hates discipline is going to die. Why? Because everything about walking in God is about discipline. Discipline. Discipline is the practice of things that help you change to grow into the character of Jesus Christ. Discipline. I love it when some adult says, we're late because she didn't set the alarm clock. I'm like, grow up. We're late because we overslept. Or call me so I can get out of bed and be on. Grow up. Grow up. You are the captain of your own ship. And if you know Jesus, he is the captain that gives you the power to do anything he asks. Listen, I want to read that at Scripture again. Most men will proclaim his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? There are hundreds, if not thousands, of hours lost to the work of the kingdom every Sunday because people aren't faithful enough to show up in church and do what they committed to do in ministry. And I love what Brother Steve said earlier because it's the truth. If you're going to help us in the ministry of the church, do it because you love Jesus Christ. Do it because you love lost people. Do it because you're doing it for God. Don't do me a favor. The Bible talks in 1 Corinthians 3. We were looking at it the other night in our Wednesday evening adult Bible study. Some of you need to come. You'd be twice as spiritual if you just come twice a week. We were talking about we're going to stand before Christ one day and be judged by our works. And some are going to be precious stones and gold and silver. Some are going to be wood, hay, and stubble. But they're all going to be tried by the fire. Our works. Christian, you're going to stand before God one day and he's going to ask you, what did you do with your life, your time, your energy, your resources for the work of my kingdom? And some of you are going to say, I sat home boo-hooed all the time. Whole time. Every single day, I just boo-hooed because I couldn't get nobody to listen to my boo-hoo, and I just boo-hooed louder. Get busy for God. Well, you don't know, Pastor Ken. I'll tell you what I do know. If you get busy doing God's work, you won't have time to worry about all that junk. That's right. You won't. You'll be busy, man. He'll keep you busy. Faithfulness requires self-control. Self-control. Now, don't raise your hand, but I know for a fact some of you are out of control. You're like a wild pony. You can't even put a bridle on you. You say, I know I ought to do this and I ought to do that and I ought to be the other thing, but I don't. I know because you're out of control. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Well, Pastor, I do better when you're around. That's not self-control. That's not self-control. Self-control means you act the same way if there's nobody around. You do the same things if there's nobody around. Nobody has to watch you. Nobody has to push you. Nobody has to make you do anything. You do it. Thank God there are many of you that know that and do it. Psalm 15 said, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friends, and whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fears the Lord. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. You know what that means? That means your yes is yes and your no is no. And if you make a promise to somebody or a commitment to somebody, even if it hurts you and costs you, and it will many times, you're going to be counted on and follow through anyway. I got a few brothers that I have been with for some of them 30 years or better that are in our congregation here. I would trust them with my life. With my life. I would trust them with my life. Why? Because they are people of integrity. They are people of self-control. They are people that when they tell you they're going to do something, they do it. They follow through on it. They do it. Now, life throws things. You know, there's times we can't do things. We're providentially hindered. We need to have mercy and grace at times. But I'm talking about the general move of your life. You know, if you're faithful 99% of the time and you mess up once in a while, people give you grace for that. But if you're unfaithful all the time, you're not going to get much grace. I've had people that have come to church here that lived 50 miles from church, and they show up 20 minutes late to the service. They say, you know, Pastor Ken, we live 50 miles from the church. That'd be okay, but I've had those same people move 5 minutes from the church, and guess what time they show up for church? It's still 20 minutes late. Well, stuff happens, Brother Ken. I know people that are late all the time. They really are. And they don't know they are. In fact, if you confront them about it, they'll act like it's the first time they've been late in their entire life. Well, did this happen? To be on time, you got to be early. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you got to compensate for something. And again, sometimes things happen providentially that are out of your control. You can't do nothing about, but that's the exception. That's not the rule. Somebody that has self-control is proactive. They do what they got to do to get the job done all the time. Jesus said in Matthew 5:37, let your yes be simply yes and your no be simply no. Anything more than that comes from the evil one. Some of you need to learn how to say no. Because you lie a lot. You say yes and then you don't do it. You don't follow through. You don't make the commitment. You lie. It's better to say no and tell them right up front. It's okay to say no. You got to learn to say no to a lot of things. Because everything you say yes to in life, by default, you say no to other things. That's why you got to learn to figure life out and learn to control your life. Every one of us have 168 hours a week. Did you know that? To sleep, to eat, to work, to mow the grass, to change the oil in the car, to take care of the kids, to, you know, diaper the babies, whatever. Nobody gets any more, nobody gets any less. And you know what successful people have learned? If you need something done, give it to somebody that's busy. Because a loafer ain't going to do nothing for you and them, or ever has or ever will anyway. They'll get it done. Why? Because they have self-control, because they know where their boundaries are. Proverbs 25:28 said, he who has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that's broken down without walls. You know who the first person is you have to learn to keep your word to? You. You got to hold yourself to the decisions that you make and follow through on it. If you can't control yourself and what you do, you'll never be able to really be used of God. Now, he'll use you probably for other reasons. Sometimes a bad example is a good example of how not to do something. Right? See, if you don't have any rule over your own spirit, you say, I'm going to do this, or I'm not going to do that, or I'm going to follow through on this, or I'm not going to follow through on that. You got to learn to control yourself. See, we serve a God that's going to hold us all accountable one day. He's righteous and just. He's never asked anything of you that you can't do, and he said, I'll even empower you to do it. But you're going to give account of your life and your decisions and what you do. James 1:8 said, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. See, if you can't make your own self follow through on the commitments you make to your own life, you're always going to be out of control. You're never going to be the type of vessel not only to be used of God, but to have the type of life that God, that Jesus Christ died for you to have. Third thing is, faithfulness is cultivated in the discipline of little things. That's where it starts. That's where you learn discipline. Start in the little things. And see, if you don't learn to be faithful in little things, some of you think what you do at your home, what you, you know, the way you live, you think none of that matters to God. It all matters to God. The very hairs of your head are numbered. It all matters to God, every bit of it. I got saved and I was working in a factory with a bunch of factory workers. And no offense to you factory workers, but they're not all the cleanliness, sanitized bunch you ever been around. And they would just throw trash and stuff everywhere. I'll never forget. I walked over one day. I think it was a wrapper off a piece of gum. And I went to throw it in a trash can and it went down on the ground. And I took a few steps and the Holy Spirit said, go pick that up. I wanted to say, I rebuke you, devil, but I knew it was the Holy Spirit. He said, pick that up. I thought, really? But God started speaking into my life through that gum wrapper. He said, it all counts. It all matters. Every little detail matters. Be disciplined enough to do right in everything. I ride down the road. I hate litter bugs. I don't know if I did before I got saved or not. Maybe it's because I had to pick up that gum wrapper, but I hate them now. I do, because I think millions, if not billions of dollars are lost every year that could be used for cancer cures and all kind of other things, but no, I got to flip it out the window and throw it all over and somebody else has got to come along and we got to have trucks to pick it up. And I mean, there's a lot of little things like that. See, Jesus said this, he who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is dishonest and unjust in a very little thing is dishonest and unjust also in much. See, if you're only good when people are looking at you and when you can't get away with being bad, you're still bad to the bone. You know, it's the old adage, do you steal because you're a thief or are you a thief because you steal? Truth is, if you're a thief, you're a thief if you never steal nothing. That's what Jesus is trying to say to us. And boy, oh boy, let me be nice about this, Lord. Let me be gentle. Let me be kind. Well, Pastor Ken, you can't expect me to show up every Sunday and do that ministry because it's volunteer work. Whew, dear God Almighty, help me, Jesus. Keep me calm. It's kingdom work. It's eternity work. See, well, all I do is greet people at the door. Have you read Scripture? I'd rather be the doorman in the house of God than to dwell in all the tents of the wicked, it says. Why? Because there are prodigal sons and daughters that are going to show up at those doors. There are people that Jesus Christ died for that are going to show up at those doors. And by the way, every one of them is Jesus Christ. Treat them like Jesus Christ. He said, when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. Well, it's just church. You know, you got to learn to be faithful to pay your bills. You got to be faithful to take care of the things that you already have. Hello? My mother, you know, we didn't have a lot of appliances and stuff growing up. My mother could destroy any piece of clothing that you had. I knew if somebody gave me a sweater that I loved for Christmas, I was probably only going to get to wear it once. And it would fit a baby doll afterwards. My My wife hung around my mother for years and saw her doing laundry, and that's the only thing Carla will not let me touch in our house. She said, you don't go near the washing machine or the dryer. You get ice cream later. My wife's the opposite, and I'm having to get used to it. I'm like, my Lord, I've had that T-shirt for 20 years, and it looks like I just pulled it out of the pack. Can't we just throw it away? I mean, she's the opposite end of the stick. I got clothes that I had when I was 17 I'm probably going to be able to be buried in if I can lose a little weight. But you know what she's taught me through that? To take care of things. To take care of things. You don't have to buy it every other month if you take care of it. I had a fellow on the praise team one time. He said, let me play that guitar. I said, no, you can't. He said, why? I said, every time I let somebody do that, they bust it up, they put a nick in it or something. As a joke, he went, oh, really? Put a big old gash in one of them. He'd carry his guitar into praise team. The case looked like it was coming apart. Guitar was beat to death. Jesus will help you not to kill people when they do that. All I did was I looked at him. Now, I had to run that thing all the way to Stevensville on the other side of the bridge going to Ocean City where Paul Reed Smith's shop is to get it fixed because I can't stand not having it fixed. But I looked at him and I said, let me tell you something. I said, when you get ready to sell your guitar, I said, would you want to buy one of mine or one of yours? Oh, one of yours. I said, case closed. Case closed. I said, you know what else? That belongs to Jesus. I got to take care of that like it belongs to Jesus. People joke me about it. They said, does your car ever get dirty? It does. I got to wash it a lot. You say, you really worried about your car? Yeah, it belongs to Jesus. It belongs to Jesus. Well, I wish we could bring all that coffee and our drinks and we could just come in, sit down, be all social in the sanctuary and church on Sundays. You can't. It belongs to Jesus. It belongs to Jesus. We got a couple stains now, and I know the names of them. You say, really? Is that really a problem? You know why that's a problem? Because if the Lord tarries, we're going to be here 20 years from now. I don't want to have to spend another $30,000 putting carpet and stuff on the floor when I can use it to reach people for Christ. Just learn to be a good steward in little things. See, I had to learn to take care of my own house before God would entrust me with this one or all the others that we've had. Listen to what he says. Therefore, if you've not been faithful in the case, this is Luke 16:11. If you've not been faithful in the case of unrighteous mammon, that is deceitful riches, money, and possessions. How many of you know God cares what you do with your money? Now, the neat thing about it is he said, if you give 10% to me, I'll make the 90% do anything else you have to do with it. But you need to learn to be a good steward with it. Don't waste it. Don't waste what you buy with it so that you got to keep buying it over. But listen to what he says. If you don't learn to handle that, he said, who will entrust to you the true riches? You know what true riches are, don't you? It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's souls and lives and people that will spend eternity with God. God will say, I will use you and give you true riches. Help you to truly touch people's hearts and lives for eternity. How many of you know we're not taking any of this junk with us? You're going to take the hearts and souls and lives of the people that you've affected for the kingdom. That's the only thing that's going to follow you out of this world. He said, and if you've not proved faithful in that which belongs to another, whether it's God or man, how many of you know some people take care of their own stuff, but they will not take care of yours? Well, I'll be the best Christian ever when God makes me the pastor of a church. Not unless you serve God in the church that you're in and serve somebody else while you're doing it. That's right. Yeah. I The Holy Spirit's real, let me tell you. He said, if you won't take care of another person's possession. I have a 14-volume set of books. It's been a big influence on my life. You're going to chuckle when I tell you what the name of it is. Preaching Through the Bible. Say, Pastor Ken, you just preach through the Bible, don't you? Yeah, all the time. I loaned one of those volumes, that 14-volume book, to a lady one time. She had it for a little while. She brought it back. It had markers in it. It had all different kind of magic markers all through it. I thought, really? You say, well, it's just a book. Yeah, but it belongs to Jesus. And it's a book I'd kind of like to have for a while. It looked like it was about the end of the road. About a year later, she came into church one day. She said, you know that book I borrowed yours? Says, I bought a whole set of. I said, I want to come over and see him. I did. Guess what book I took with me? I said, since you love this one so much and it's got all your notes in it, I'm taking this one here. And you know, I would have probably been fine with that if she would have said, can I mark this thing up? But she didn't. She just, you know. Don't you love it when you loan them the lawnmower, they bring it back, it's broke, it's busted, and nobody did it. I don't want to bust your bubble, but even when the church copier gets broke, nobody did it. It got broke all by itself. See, he said, if you won't take care of other people's stuff, God's not going to give you much. That's really what he says. He said, who will give you that which is your own? You're not going to get the true riches unless you learn to take care of what you have. You know, I know half praise team thinks this, probably half church. They said, man, Pastor Ken's OCD. I'm not. I'm CDO. But you know, I'm really not. I'm not. But I take care of things. I take care of things because I want them to shine for Jesus. And I know they belong to Jesus. And I know if I take care of them, I don't have to keep buying them over and over again. And I want to do what God wants me to do. I want him to entrust me. Now, last but not least, I got to share this with you. Faithfulness is the fruit of the Spirit. And the Spirit empowers those who want it. Who want it. Some of you are waiting for the Monday morning or the Wednesday morning or the Saturday morning or the Sunday morning that you're going to wake up and God is going to have christened you with the fruit of the Spirit. It don't happen that way. When people come into my office for counseling, the first thing I tell them, I say, my magic wand is broke. I don't have magic crystals I can sprinkle over your head to fix everything that's in your life. But I do know the God that can do anything. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit that produces in a person's life is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And it said there is no law against these kind of things. This fruit comes from the Spirit inside of you. Now hang on, I'm going to share, this is the deepest truth you've ever heard in your life. The Spirit is the power steering fluid of the Christian life. See, that was so deep it went right over some of your heads. Some of you are so young, you never drove a car that did not have power steering. You can drive your car with your finger, but some of us are so old that we drove cars without power steering. You had to drive them with your elbows and your shoulders. They weren't too bad as long as you were moving, but if you slowed down and had to turn it, hang on, baby. Right? But they invented this thing called power steering. There's a little pot out in front of your car filled with fluid, and it's got hoses running from it down to all of the steel and mechanics in the front of your car, and when you turn it one way, all the fluid goes in the lines in that direction, and when you turn it the other way, it goes in the other direction, and the fluid does all the work. But you know what? Even if you have a car that has power steering, if you just sit there and look at the steering wheel and say, turn right. Now, we're getting there. We're going to be able to do that for long, right? They'll park by themselves now. But you know what I'm saying? You can't do it in the car you got right now, unless you're driving Tesla. You got to grab the steering wheel, don't you? You got to turn it. You know what you got to do with the fruit of the Spirit? And I know this because God will not force you to do anything against your will. The meanest person in the world gets in front of you and you hear the Holy Spirit say, the fruit of the Spirit is love. You say, no, it ain't, it's kill. You got a choice in that moment. You've got a choice to say, God, help me love them. You saw it in action a few moments ago when I bowed my head and asked God to help me. You have no idea what I was about to say. But here's the thing. You have to choose to love. You have to choose to be patient. You have to choose to be kind. You have to choose to be good. You have to choose to be faithful. But guess what? The moment you do, the Holy Spirit will empower you to do what you want to do. That's why you got to quit lying and fudging about everything. You got no excuse unless you're not born again. If you're not born again, you're a slave of the devil and he'll make you do anything. God will not make you do anything. You have to choose to want to be those things and ask God to help you to be those things in those situations, and he will. He will, but you have to choose it. Got a good word for you, Brother Todd. You shouldn't have confessed about that patient thing up here in front of everybody. But they liked it because we all wrestle with it. But you know what you need to do in those situations when you go through the drive-thru and you're about to lose it? Tribulation does what? It works patience. You know how it works it? You choose patience. See, God isn't just going to zap patience on you. You're in those spots because God wants you to work that spiritual muscle. I know, because when I drive down the interstate and things stop, I want to get out with my 50 caliber, and God says, patience. Now I'm being a little bit facetious, but I'm being truthful with you, because when you do that long enough, guess what happens? It becomes a part of your nature, of who and what you are. You become a patient person after a while. See, if you're like me, I go on a diet for 3 days and wonder why ain't I losing weight? I didn't eat that extra cupcake today. There should be 10 pounds off. But see, we're that way with the fruit of the Spirit. We blow it one time, or we don't do it one time. We quit exercising. I'll wait till the next time, and I'll blow up. How many times have I walked in the door, going in the door and said, God, you know what my flesh wants to do. But help me do what you want me to do. Fill me with the Spirit. Because these people already have enough flesh. They need to taste some Spirit. They need to taste some Jesus through somebody. Amen. And I pick me, God. I want to be faithful. Don't you? Worship team, will you come to the platform? You better. If you don't, I won't never get done. Do people find you? Ask yourself this. Now remember, the Bible said this. Everybody thinks they're faithful. But are you really? When the rubber meets the road, can you be trusted? Is your word good? Do you follow through on what you commit to? Even Swear to your own heart. That's a good way to learn how to say no. I've said yes to a lot of things that cost me a lot of hurt. And after a while, I said, you know what? I need to start saying no to some things. Because I'm tired of hurting. Because I'm going to do it if I've committed to it. Do you find, do people rather find you a faithful person of integrity? If I were to go to your boss or your spouse or your uncles or your aunts and say, is this person a person? Are they faithful? Are they a person of integrity? Honesty. Their yes is yes. Their no is no. If they commit to something they do, what would they say? What would they say? Does your yes mean yes? When you commit to something, do you follow through on it? Do you swear to your own hurt? Do you do what you say, or do you just talk a good talk? I hate to say this to you, but it's true. I've got a number of friends that are Christians that are business owners. And some of them have been business owners for years. And you know what their testimony is to me? I will never hire anybody that tells me they're a Christian. Should not be so. We ought to live lives as Christians that when employers don't have employees, they ought to be saying, find me a Christian. I done went to meddling. I got to get done. Can God count you faithful? Can he put you in the ministry? If you're born again, he already has. He just wants you to own up to it, saddle up, and be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. If he can, I want to tell you something. Your life will become an adventure. It will be an adventure that will bear fruit in time and in eternity. We're going to worship because that's what we do to close the service. We got to be faithful in little things. If you're really going to be everything that God wants you to be, you need to start somewhere small. I had a lady years ago came to me, and this is where she started. But it changed her life. She said, God spoke to me, and I need to learn to obey the speed limit. Just spoke to you too, didn't he? Now, God's not legalistic, you know. He's not going to throw you in the pit if you go 53 or 4 or 5. Sad thing is, I ain't even going to tell you because you'll go do it. I was going to tell you what state police will let you get away with. We've had a couple of state policemen in our congregation. I asked one of them in the congregation of Clear Spring one Sunday. I said, is it true that you got a quota that you got to meet by the end of the month? He said, no, sir, we can write as many of them as we want to. So there. But you'd be surprised if you get faithful in one little thing where you're not now. And do that, what it will bear, the fruit it will bear in the rest of your life. And I don't have to point it out to you, God already has. Amen? Stand, let's worship the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we have come here to your sanctuary, to your house of worship. Father, as humans, we desire to show you and that we love you. And Father God, by us taking time today to come into your sanctuary, to your house, Father God, we desire to show you that you're important to us. We need you and desire you. Father God, we have sang these songs. These songs with beautiful lyrics and words. But Father God, you look at the heart, and whether we sing those songs, it's, you're looking at heart. Did we really mean those words we were singing? Did we sing it from our soul with meaning and belief that we want to be that? We listen to your word, Father God. how it affects and changes us. It molds us and shapes us. We thank you for this word today about ministry, Father God, that touches us and challenges us, Father God, that you have called us into your ministry. Your ministry just isn't here at New Life or at church, Father God, but your ministry is wherever we go. When we leave this building, the restaurants and our workplaces, our schools, our places that we frequent, our shops, our stores, that's our ministry field. That's our mission field. Father God, you have called us into the ministry. Father God, I ask that this message ring out in this coming week, Father God, that we're obedient to what you have called us to do. Lord, challenge us. Give us the boldness, Father God. I pray for divine appointments with those people you have set before us. Those people, Father God, that no one else will have the opportunity to share Jesus Christ with. You have set those people in our life. So, Father God, I pray for the moving of the Holy Spirit to create those divine appointments. Give us the words, Father God, to speak. Help us to be prepared, Father God. You say, be prepared to share with the hope that lies within us. So, Father God, help us to do what we need to do to be prepared for these times you have set before us. Father God, I thank you for each person here today. Lord, I thank you for their gifts and their abilities. I thank you, Lord, that they desire to follow you, be part of your family. Just be with them now, Father God. Touch their lives. Be with them through this coming week, all the struggles, the trials, the temptations. And Father God, yes, be with them on the mountaintops as they're celebrating life in you and events in life, Father God. Celebrate with them then too, Father God. Holy Spirit, just come now. I invite you to come. Lead us and guide us, I pray, this coming week. Amen.